Well, good afternoon to you all, and welcome to the induction service of the Reverend Ivan Perkins to the pastorate of Penrewl Community Church. I'm sure on behalf of everybody, thank you all for coming and for sharing this wonderful time together with us. Shall we just commend the service to the Lord in prayer? Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that your presence is already with us, because you have promised that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are there in the midst. And so we ask, dear Father, for each one of us, especially for Ivan and those who will take part today, dear Father, that your hand of blessing will be upon them, not just for today, but ongoing. We thank you that we have a God who understands us. We thank you we have a God who knows all about us. He knows our faults and our failings. And yet somehow you manage to use us anyway. And we are amazed by this, dear Father. But we ask, dear Lord, this afternoon that this might be a service when, while the induction takes place, your word will be preached, these wonderful hymns will be sung, we will have fellowship one with another, and we pray, dear Lord, above and beyond everything else, that here in this service this afternoon, your name will be honoured, your name will be uplifted and glorified, and that we will be blessed together as we worship in your name. We ask all these things in your name and for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I welcome you all to this service this afternoon? Particularly want to thank Bethel Evangelical Church, Pastor Reverend John Williams, the officers and the deacons, and for those who are attending from various churches in the area. And God's blessing on all those who are taking part today, and especially on Ivan, as we induction service will take place later on. It was David who said, didn't he, in the Psalms, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And it's good to see so many churches represented here this afternoon. We're going to sing our hymn in a minute. I'm not going to take any more of your time. I'm just going to be introducing between the various hymns. But I was intrigued by the word induction. Been to induction meetings before, but I wanted to look it up to see what it meant. Maybe, I don't know whether you know. And of course, one of the definitions was it's an initiation. The action, this is a dictionary definition, the action or process of integrating someone to a post or an organization. We know that's why we're here this afternoon. But I found another one. I didn't really understand it, but I'll share it with you. It says induction is the process by which an electrical conductor, that is something that can conduct or allow the flow of electrical current, becomes electrified when near a charged body. And I thought, isn't that a picture of our service in the Lord's work? You know, I've never been in this pulpit before. It'll say here, without me, you can do nothing. And that's true. Whatever our abilities are, as long as we are in a place where God can work through us, he is the power source, isn't he? If we look to ourselves, we will fail. But the wonderful fact is, an electrical conductor, when it becomes electrified, when near a charged body. And our prayer for Ivan and for all the ministers here is that that might be what we do. Stay close to the Lord, and the Lord can bless us and use us. Paul says to Timothy, doesn't he, "I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. You, my son," he says, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." We pray that for you, brother, and especially for your family and for all those who are serving the Lord in that way. We're going to sing to that end our first hymn, "He Will Hold Me Fast." When I fear my faith will foil, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He must hold me fast. We'll sing this hymn, and at the end of this hymn, I'm going to ask the Reverend Robert Wins of Casalim, Casina, to bring us the reading and to pray for us.
Thank you. taken a church Bible. It's a NIV. We're going to read from 1 Peter and chapter 5. And this is what God's word has to say. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Let's ask God for his help. God opposes the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Lord, we're given great promises in your word of what it means to be great in your kingdom. And Jesus reminds us we need to be servants of all. And Father, when we look at our hearts, we understand that any man, woman, boy or girl in this world, as they come before the great servant himself, Jesus Christ, we fall short in our thought, our act, our attitude. And we say, how can anyone dare to stand and proclaim that God, he draws near to the humble, when we ourselves are so far from you? And then we hear the good news of a Saviour who says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And Lord, that's the great hope. It's why we stand in the pulpit and we preach. It's why we speak to our neighbours. It's because, Father, we know that you've given us everything we need in and through your Son. And by your Spirit empowering us, we see Jesus, our life. He is the great servant. And all that we need, a new life, a righteousness, has been granted to us because of his great salvation. And Father, our prayer is now in mercy, that you would, Lord, take hold of what we seek to do today. Lord, we need to be fed. We know it's a service for Avion, and we thank you, Lord, for this public declaration of his desire to serve you here in Gesinen. But Lord, we need to be blessed. We need, Father, you to speak to us. And Lord, we might have come for one reason, but the eternal God of heaven wants us to know that it's enough for Gesinen, and it's enough for Wales, it's enough for this world that Jesus Christ is crucified and proclaimed. And it's enough for this world when we have those proclaiming the word who aren't powerful and aren't mighty, aren't the most gifted, but they stand up and say, Jesus only, because you lift us up. And Lord, that's our testimony. Of those who stand and take part, it's to God be the glory. Great things he has done, even through me, even through the words that we speak. And so we just pray for this new endeavour. We thank you, Lord, for the history of Penrhyl. We thank you, Lord, for its desire to make known Jesus Christ. We're thankful, Lord, in this place in Bethel that Jesus is proclaimed. Thankful for the church in Kasalam. Lord, in this little place, Jesus is being honoured. In a world that seeks to undermine your word and rubbish the gospel, there are people who say Jesus and Jesus alone. And we will make Christ and him crucified known. So do us good. Build us up. Give us what we, Lord, didn't even expect today. And from these places, walk out of here enthused again to make known Jesus. Do us good. Encourage our hearts. Help us to see the glory of your Son, we pray, for your name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. We're going to sing our second hymn now. You're singing very well. It sounds great from up here. But this is a wonderful hymn. And if this is a hymn which we can say from our testimony, then let's sing it with gusto this afternoon. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of change turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. We'll sing this hymn, and then I'll ask our brother Steve if he'll come up and give us the history of the call.
Sorry, I was waiting for an introduction, then to sing the next solo. But seeing Dad moving away from the piano, realised I wasn't singing. No. Welcome everyone. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to be together this way this afternoon. It falls on me this afternoon to bring you a brief account of the history of the call, and I'm more than happy to do that. But I really feel, firstly, I must take you back where we were as a church almost 4 years ago when our brother Paul had to leave us. The financial situation had become very tight. A few families in the church had decided it was time to leave us and to go on to other churches. This proved to be, in God's wisdom, to be the right decision, as more of their families have been saved since attending their new churches. Then she wants to come up and speak as well. Then the other elder, the only elder we had at the time, asked if he could come and see me. And before he arrived, I knew what he was going to say. And he came and he said, "Steve, I'm sorry, but my family and I are having to move on also." It was devastating news, and Rose and myself were very tempted to do likewise. It would have been good to have continued fellowship in another church. But we prayed and thought about it a great deal and decided to stay. Many of the families that left, the families I've just mentioned, are here today, represented here today. And I want to thank each of you for the fellowship and the great memories I have, we have, of the fellowship we had one with another. So it left just Paul Whiteley and myself at the helm. And as I mentioned at the outset, our financial situation was not in a good state. In fact, it was desperate. And I had to say to Paul at the time, Paul will remember it well, he's sitting there looking at me. I remember having to tell Paul, "Paul, it's time. If another church shows interest, you must take up any offers you receive." And shortly after, Paul informed me a church in Cardiff had indeed asked him to come along to preach with a view. Emmanuel Baptist Church issued a call, and Paul accepted their offer to become pastor. We in Penrhyl continue to pray for Emmanuel, and I know Emmanuel pray for us, and we are very, very grateful for that. So the leadership of Penrhyl Community Church fell to me. Oh dear. Believe me, it's not a nice place to be. It really, really isn't. And again, after a lot of prayer and discussion with my wife, "Where do we go from here, love?" I said. And she said, "We must pray even more, even harder." And that's what we did. We prayed even more and even harder as to where the Lord would have us go in Penrhyl. After much prayer and discussion, I decided that those who were faithfully serving, members and non-members who were faithfully serving in Penrhyl, I should ask some of them to form a leadership team. And all the team are here this afternoon. They won't thank me for mentioning them, but I'm going to all the same. Neville Manger, Lynn Deans, Jonathan and Jane Nicholas, and my wife Rose, who at the time and is still church treasurer. I bestowed that title on her, and she hasn't forgiven me since. But she is the church treasurer. The team met together, we talked over the situation, and we prayed a great deal. And it was decided we must call an attenders, a members and attenders meeting to spell out where we stood as a church and arrange a date for the meeting. In the meantime, Casalum became aware of our situation, in fairness to them. They made us a very, very, I underline very, attractive offer. We would keep our independence as a church in Penrhyl, but we would attend attend Sundays in Casalum and use the Penrhyl Church building as an evangelistic outpost, holding community cafe, mums and tots, children's work, youth, and so on. That was the offer that was on the table. And at the time, wow, let's do it. Let's do it. So we put it on the agenda for the members' attenders meeting. So the agenda read first, appointment of the leadership team. Yeah, because I brought this team together off my own back, I needed to get authority from everyone in the church. Two, the offer from Casalum. Three, stay as we were and review in 6 months. Four, close the doors of Penrhyw Church and go our own way. The decision was made and we stay and review in 6 months. Within a couple of months, COVID hit and left us with no choice but to close the doors of Penrhyw Church. It was at this point our brother Neville came into his own and set up Zoom. Nerves, I got it all in black and white. Set up Zoom for us. And we met every Sunday on Zoom and on Tuesday nights. And as well as operating the computer, Neville would often, well, every Tuesday, would take the Bible studies. And we knew blessing. We knew much blessing. And as well as us in Penrhyw meeting, our brother Roger would come on a regular basis to preach for us. And he enjoyed the fellowship amongst us. At least I assume he did. Yeah. Yeah. He went home to his church in Crosshands and suggested Penrhyw a meeting on Zoom. Why don't we join them on a Sunday afternoon? And they did that. And we've met more Sundays since. And we've enjoyed their fellowship. And the folk are here today. We thank God for them. And on Zoom, would you believe, we had people attending virtually every service from Canada and people from England attending regularly. And we thank God for them. So as I've said, Roger has been a godsend, and I mean that. You've been so helpful, brother, in bringing us God's word on a regular basis. Neville Manger, because without him, our meetings on Zoom wouldn't have been possible. Also, as I've just said, for taking every Tuesday night's Bible study. And to Salem and Bethel, we thank our brothers and sisters in these two churches in Gosainan for their help through an extremely difficult time. We continue to meet on Zoom. We continued to meet on Zoom. And we knew God's blessing sitting under God's word. As I've said, this has led to wonderful fellowships between Prince Zion and ourselves. We've enjoyed fellowship with these people from far and near, through lockdown and ever since. At last, it seemed like the pandemic was coming to an end, and it was time to think of meeting back at the church building. But whereas the church had grown stronger on Zoom through the lockdown, regrettably the same could not be said for the church building. I went up there on a Wednesday, I think it was, afternoon to see how things looked, and I opened the doors, and I wish I hadn't. It was in a dreadful, and I mean dreadful, dreadful state. We had to get the place completely decorated. A lot of the floor had to be repaired because the floorboards had rotted, and a lot of the chairs had to be replaced. We were in a dreadful place. Thankfully, the people who were attending on Zoom before and after had continued faithful and continued with their tithes, and therefore we were able to afford to get the place decorated and renewed the chairs and the carpets and so on. So the place became fit for purpose. Yes. We moved back into the church building, meeting once on a Sunday afternoon, but still meeting on Zoom for most of our prayer meetings. Neville still facilitated our meetings on Zoom so that we didn't lose fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Canada and in England. Also, some of us, from some from us joined Bryn Zion, Cross Annes on a Sunday. Sorry, some of us go to Cross Annes on a Sunday morning, and they come to us on a Sunday afternoon, and very welcome they are. During this time, our prayer has been that God would guide us in the way ahead, and that he would show us someone to pastor us, praying constantly that he would bring a new man. From the time Paul left us to go to Cardiff, I think I was asked to pray in your church, brother, and in that prayer, I said to the Lord, Lord, show us who Paul's replacement would be. And we've been asking that prayer for the last 4 years. Sunday, the 3rd of July, Paul Ashman, our last elder, came to preach for us. And we had a blessed time together, a real blessed time. And we were thanking God for the word he laid on our hearts. The following day, I was at home, and the phone rang, the house phone, which is very unusual these days. All the phone calls these days tend to be on mobile, but the house phone rang, and it was the Reverend John Williams. And I thought, hello, why is John ringing me? He must be cancelling the next preaching engagement. But no, John told me that he'd been speaking to Ivan Perkins, the pastor of Nodva, Ponte Dulles. He explained that sadly, Nodva was facing similar problems to those we faced in 2019. They were going to be unable to support Ivan full-time for much longer, and so he was going to look for a part-time pastorate elsewhere. John immediately thought of our situation in Penrhyn. I told John that I would speak to our leadership team and get back to him. I sat back in my armchair. I got here, and I got quite emotional. I didn't get quite emotional. I cried. I cried because I realized that God had heard our prayers, and what's more, he was answering our prayers. I thanked God there and then. I contacted the leadership team immediately, and they were thrilled to hear the news that John had suggested that Ivan could be our next pastor. They asked me to arrange a few Sundays where he could come and preach, and a few Tuesdays where he could take our Bible studies. I well remember the first time Ivan preached for us. There were some nerves, not as nervous as I am now, but there were some nerves. But I looked around after the service at the team, and I could see expressions of delight on their faces, and that was enough to know that they agreed that Ivan was the person to take us on. So after the number of Sundays and Tuesdays Ivan spoke for us, we arranged another leadership team meeting, and we agreed that we should bring our suggestion, our recommendation, to the members attenders. We did this, and it was a unanimous yes. Not one dissent. Everyone that was there voted yes to Ivan becoming our pastor. I should say again that thankful to John Williams for thinking of us as a church when he became aware of Ivan's situation. We are so grateful to God for answered prayer to our prayers. We have a great, great God. We have known trials and been involved in many battles over the past 4 years. But we know God has won the war. We, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, are on the victory side. And I praise God this afternoon. And thank you all for coming to celebrate with us this afternoon at the new pastor of Penrhyn Community Church. And before I step down, I just wanted to say, Paul has come down from Cardiff today. Thank you so much, Paul. Alan, another previous pastor, Alan and Mary, they've come from Pontlew, and Alan haven't been well of late, but he's made the effort to be here this afternoon, and I'm so grateful, we are so grateful, Alan, for you being here and for your ministry in the church in the past years. We thank you, brother. We thank you, Mary, for making the effort to be here this afternoon. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve. Many revelations there, weren't there? We now know that Neville Manger is responsible for COVID. We were blaming the Chinese and Neville all along. But can I just say on behalf of Bryn Zion in Crossans, we've been a very small church for a long time, and we've been blessed mightily by having fellowship with the folks in Penrewl. And in a sense, you're our pastor as well now. So we are thankful to you and for the welcome we've had and the fellowship we've been able to enjoy. Now, on my order of service, it says next, the art of induction. I don't know if there's any art to it, Stefan, but I'll pass it over to you now. Thank you. This is the Reverend Stefan Jones from Mount Elim in Punta Dawe.
Great. Well, 25 years ago, I used to play Super Nintendo with Avion in my bedroom. Little did we know then that we'd be having this service. So it's a privilege to be here on behalf of Mount Elim Evangelical Church in Punta Dawe. We're extending our greetings to you. Please be assured of our prayers, both Penrewl, Noddfa, Bryn Sion and Bethel and the Gosainan Church as well. So it's a privilege to be here. So I'll call Avion up, and he will have an opportunity now to show his commitment to the Lord, to the Word, to the Gospel, his commitment to the people of Bethel as well. And we are mindful, sorry, of Penrewl. We are mindful that you are doing this before the congregation and before God. And so in all of these things, we are dependent on the grace and the mercy of our Father in heaven. So, Adrian, I'll ask you some questions. And then after that, there'll be a couple of questions for Penrewl Community Church. Avion, do you believe the Holy Scriptures as originally given to be the infallible Word of God, of divine inspiration, and the supreme authority in all matters of faith and practice?
Yes, without a doubt.
Do you believe in the only true and living God, the Holy Trinity of divine persons, in perfect unity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each of whom is co-equal and sovereign in creation, providence, and redemption?
Yes, I do.
Do you own and confess anew the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, as your Saviour and Lord?
Yes, by His grace, not for you.
Do you accept and believe the doctrinal basis of Penrewl Community Church and promise to uphold it at all times?
Yes, with God's help.
Do you sincerely believe and will you faithfully proclaim the gospel of the love and grace of God, who freely offers to all men forgiveness and eternal life?
Yes, as God gives me strength to do so.
And calls him into the fellowship and service of his kingdom through Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. Our zeal for the glory of God, love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and desire to save souls are not worldly design or interests. As far as you know, your own heart, your great motives and chief inducements to serve as minister in this congregation.
Yes, I do.
Do you engage in the strength and grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master, to live a holy and circumspect life, faithfully to discharge the duties of your ministry among this people, and zealously to maintain the truth of the gospel, whatever trouble or persecution may arise?
Yes, because without Christ I can do nothing, but with him I can do all things.
And do you promise to seek the unity and peace of this church and to uphold its doctrine, worship, government and discipline, and by the grace of God to faithfully fulfil the office of minister?
Yes, by God's help.
With the members of Penrewl Community Church, please stand. You now have an opportunity to show your commitment to the Lord, to the gospel, and to Avion as your pastor and minister. If you are in agreement with these two questions, then cry out, "We do." Do you, as members of this church, own and confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord, and as the head of the church? Do you, in accepting Evian as your minister whom you have called, promise in Christian fellowship to share with him the work of Christ at Penrhyl Community Church, to pray for him and his family, and to give him your full support and encouragement in the Lord? You may be seated. If the ACW pastors and local pastors of Casalem and Bethel would like to come forward. And then Jeremy Bailey of Bethlehem Sandfields will pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, we now set you apart as a minister of the Gospel and induct you to be the minister here at Penrhyl Community Church. We commend you to the grace of God in the discharge of all your duties. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his shine, face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Shall we pray? O Lord God Almighty, we gather together this afternoon on this solemn occasion. We come before you recognizing our great need of you, and especially to come to pray for Evian as he begins this new ministry in addition to the ministry that you've already called him to. We thank you for your hand in all that has gone on to this date. Thank you that you've shown yourself to be a most gracious God who has heard and answered prayer. And Father, we now come to pray that you might grant all necessary grace to our brother whom we are setting apart this day in order to serve your people as he serves you in the power and strength of the Holy Spirit to the glory and honour of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help him in the ministry of the Word of God. As he labours in the Word, we pray that you grant him much joy in study and in the preaching and proclamation of the great gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that as he pastors your people in Penrhyl, that they would know much grace and that they would grow in love for the Lord Jesus and in love for their pastor. We pray that as he leads the church alongside others, he might be granted great wisdom in all the decisions that have to be made and the way that lies ahead. We pray for him in his family life, that you will bless him and Susie, Josiah and Phoebe. May they know much of your great love for them and your provision in their lives in every way. And Lord, we ask that you might give him fruit for his labours and that there might be an increase of the numbers of those who are being saved, and that the word of God will go out into that community powerfully and with signs following of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus, and all for your glory and for your honour. For we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I think it's true to say that those of us who are in any way in any sort of ministry, whether it be full-time or otherwise, have to say that we couldn't do anything without the backing of our wives and our families. And as our prayers go up for Avion, we pray too for Susie, Josiah and Phoebe, and the Lord will also bless you and encourage that you will encourage each other, as I know you will encourage everyone in the work. Before I ask the Reverend John Williams to come and preach God's word for us this afternoon, we're going to sing our third hymn. I don't know if I did say this at the beginning, because I can't remember what I said now, but we are grateful to Bethel Chapel for the use of the building to have this service. We thank you very much for that. And we're also very grateful to Deborah and Jonathan for providing the music for us this afternoon. So we're going to sing our third hymn, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart, nought be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. And after we've sung this hymn, the Reverend John Williams will come up and bring us God's word.
Passage I draw your attention to this afternoon is found in 1 Peter chapter 5, the opening four verses. We read again, to the elders among you I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So these four verses address the subject of leadership in the local church, and they're appropriate for us as Ivan is set aside for the ministry in Penrhyl Community Church. Now, to begin with, we're looking at the terms that are used to describe a leader. If you notice from verses 1 and 2, there are three terms that are mentioned here. I clearly believe that they are interchangeable, they are equivalent. There's no mention of hierarchy here. These are three ways of describing a leader of a local fellowship. Then secondly, having looked at the terms, we will look at the task. What is Ivan's task? What is his work as he preaches God's word and serves in the community in Penrhyl? And then thirdly, we must look at the tone. By that I mean the manner in which he is to lead. And it's also a challenge for all of us who are ministers, is our preaching might be correct preaching, biblical preaching, doctrinal preaching, but is the tone right? And we look at that and what is involved in that. And then fourthly and finally, the treasure of it all. We'll consider what we observe, the treasure or reward that awaits those who faithfully fulfill this obligation. So without further ado, let's look at the terms. So verses 1 and 2, notice Peter calls himself an elder. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. So he's an elder. He also speaks in the same verse then of being, in verse 2, of being shepherds of God's flock. And also then at the end of that verse of being overseers as well. So these are the three terms that are used. So firstly, the word elder can refer obviously to someone who is older, certainly the case. But also it can refer to someone who is mature. Now you see, you can be old and you've never grown up. But you can be young and quite mature. The phrase we have, he was born old. What do we mean by that? Well, because of his temperament, because of his background, he acts and he responds to issues with maturity. So there's this sense, as Paul wrote to Timothy. Timothy was probably about 40 years of age. He was saying that the church at Ephesus shouldn't despise him because of his youth. Because God obviously had set him aside and laid hands upon him for the ministry there. That thought of the word elder then can mean certainly age, but also as well spiritual maturity. Now, we know this was the phrase, the word that was used for the leaders of the synagogue. And Jesus spoke of them as the elders. And also we know then that there is a sense that the Apostle Paul picked this up. And when Paul and Barnabas were on their missionary journey, in Acts chapter 14, 23, we read they appointed elders for them in each of the churches, leaders. And we have this thought then, not only of an elder, but secondly, of a shepherd, a pastor. Now, years ago, you were called a minister of religion. Perhaps it's an Americanism, but I think it's a biblical phrase, the pastor. What do we mean? Well, he cares, he provides for the sheep, looks after the flock. The Lord Jesus, we know, is described as the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. The third term that's used here is overseer. It refers primarily to the responsibility that is needed to perform these tasks and duties. It actually gives us the word bishop, episkopos. But what we can see clearly here is that Paul, again, when he meets the Ephesian church leaders at Miletus, he gives them their responsibilities and speaks to them. And he says that they are to be shepherds and to oversee the flock which keep watch over them. And there is this sense then that they're to be shepherds of the church of God which he has bought with his own blood. And I think we can see then that those three terms are interchangeable. Now that's important because we'll come on in a moment to realize that what Peter says here in the opening verse, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. A fellow elder. This term is only found here in the whole of the New Testament, a fellow elder. So Paul, Peter here has introduced himself then at the beginning of the letter as the apostle of Jesus Christ. And he was one of the 12 who were originally chosen. So there's no doubt he has apostolic authority, but when he comes to write to these leaders now that are in the churches, you read of them, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Bithynia, there they are, with responsibility. I am a fellow elder like yourself. He's keen to emphasize that he is one among those who share the responsibility of caring for the flock of God. And now we remember that the apostle, an apostle in the strictest sense, is one who's been a witness of the sufferings and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that was something that certainly Peter underlined. But one commentator says of this first verse here, This verse is decisive against the primacy of Peter. He's a fellow elder amongst the other elders. First among equals, but not first above all. In one sense, you can liken it very quickly to a man called Neil Armstrong. We might all remember him. For some of you, you read it as history. Some of us lived through it. We got up early and stayed up through the night to watch him place his foot on the moon. Well, in one sense, you can say Neil Armstrong is over and above everybody. He is the first. But we know he was one of 12 up to this present moment. Well, there are other two very rich men trying to land on the moon so shortly. We'll see how far they'll get. One of 12. So he is the first, but in one sense, he's one of the 12 astronauts or moonwalkers, we could speak of them as. In similar manner then, here is Peter describing himself as a fellow elder. Now then, secondly, let's look at the task. What's the main task? What's Ivan's task? What's his duty? What's he to labour at? Well, verse 2 begins, feed the flock of God. The word feed there again is to tend as to pasture them. So instructing these elders in these various churches throughout the various parts of modern day Turkey then, Peter is able to say that they are commissioned by the risen Lord Jesus. Remember how the Lord Jesus spoke to Peter as Peter was recommissioned? John chapter 21, verses 15, 16, and 17. Jesus said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Pasture, take care of, provide for them. It's clear then that the Old Testament that God is the shepherd of his people. The Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23. Psalm 80. Hear us, O shepherd of Israel. Psalm 100 and verse 3. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So it's the Lord who is the shepherd, as we read here later. The chief shepherd. Come back to that in a moment. But also it's clear that men like David are described as shepherds. 2 Samuel 5 verse 2. The Lord said to you, David, you shall shepherd my people Israel. The dual responsibility then is to feed and to tend the flock. Basically two simple duties, to preach God's word, to make it presentable, to make it understandable, and to care and to visit, to pastor, to tend the flock. Those are the two main tasks. Now it's important that Ivan gives time to this. Grateful to Owen Jones, previous pastor here, who shared with me the need to be out amongst your people and also to spend time in God's word, but not solely in the ivory palace of the study. We must describe very clearly some of the communicable and uncommunicable attributes of God. But Owen Jones reminded me, he said, there are some pastors, they're invisible for 6 days of the week. And on the seventh day, they're incomprehensible. out of touch with where the people are. So these are the two main tasks, to prepare God's word, to visit the flock and to be aware of their needs and duties. The systematic exposition of the scripture gives us a varied diet. It prevents a pastor from always returning to his favorite book or his favorite subject or his favorite doctrine. There's constant reference to the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, but also the great shepherd of the sheep who was brought back from the dead. There's also need for personal attention at times. Some need to be helped through seasons of ill health and sorrow and bereavement. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, "For you know that we dealt with each one of you as a father deals with his own children." Some we know wander off and need to be recovered and restored. Others remain in the flock but experience maladies and illnesses and struggles of a spiritual nature. Some need to be reminded that the good and great shepherd still loves them despite what they've done and where they are. And others need to be reminded of the responsibilities and their accountability to the one who loved them and redeemed them. So that's the task. Preach God's word, visit the flock. Now, what's thirdly? What's the tone to be? Well, again, look at verse 2 and verse 3. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. By tone, now we're talking about the manner in which this leadership is to be conducted. Peter mentions three factors that should temper the attitudes and behaviours of leaders. The first danger is that of laziness. The responsibility is more than a job, not because you must, but because you are willing. Let's return back to that moment on that breakfast at the beach, as Peter now was restored to his place of service. 30 years previously, probably Peter had that in mind. On those three occasions, Jesus instructed Peter, yes, feed, tend, care for the flock. But we remember that it was also accompanied by three times the question, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? And we know that Peter found that question difficult to answer, as it was hammered home three occasions. He was given certainly the charge to care for the sheep in proportion to his love for the shepherd who had laid down his life for him. And this then is the tone that we ourselves, as ministers of the gospel, those who are here and able to take part and be a part of this service today, we ourselves have been rescued and saved from our sins. We ourselves have known the good shepherd who laid down his life for us. And in like manner as we love him, that will be the motivation to serve others and to help others in the work of the kingdom. Oh yes, there may be those who will find increasing opposition. And there could well be those who would flee the duties and responsibilities. But God is looking for willing leaders and officers, not as God wants you to be, we read in the verse. Paul talked about being a cheerful giver, didn't he? That's with regards to contribution, but in like manner, with a heart to serve. So the same attitude is evident then in leadership. The fact that leaders may be targeted, as certainly was James and Peter by King Herod in Acts chapter 12, will not deter them from continuing the task and duty. Secondly, guard against laziness, but also those then who head up the work of the fellowship are not, we read, to be covetous, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. This statement indicates that there has to be remuneration, payment for those who give themselves to this task. Remember how Paul quoted Old Testament texts about the elders who serve among you are worthy of double honor, understood as respect and remuneration, double honor, especially those who work in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, do not muzzle the ox which is treading out the grain. The worker deserves his wages. But that is the danger. As ministers retire from ministry, do you realize that the amount of money that I could now earn by conducting funerals? You wouldn't believe the opportunities, providing it's paid for and the tax is paid for and it's not all underhand. Oh, you can be covetous. Well, here's the duty and responsibility of the church to make sure there's enough remuneration. I sadly remember a good minister in the Llanelli area who was paid pennies for his ministry. And he was a man who sadly had to conduct funerals to make ends meet and to pay the bills. Now, I hope that's not the case, but against covetousness with regards to the church not providing, and also then that attitude of heart. And then the third one is this positive one. There's to be zeal and enthusiasm. God wants you not to be greedy for money, but eager to serve. And we've said not lording it over those entrusted to you. So there's to be this preaching of the gospel with enthusiasm. You've heard the story of the minister. He noticed in the front of the church someone had fallen asleep. And so he said to the man's wife, Would you wake your husband up, please? And the wife shouted back, you put him to sleep, you wake him up. Now, in one sense, here's the duty and the responsibility of each and every minister of the gospel. We have to be zealous and enthused and eager to share the gospel. It is the old, old story, but it doesn't have to come across as old and tired and out of date. It's the most exciting story that we've ever known. It changed my life. It changed your life. Well, we need to make sure that it continues to be a wonderful message that is heard. Now, notice also as well, as we come to the thought of the treasure. But before that, verse 3 tells us we're to be examples. And that's, I suppose, the modelling, the patterning, and being one who can be copied. It's a great responsibility and a duty. You see, a minister, you have to appreciate, and I'm glad that people said they're going to pray for Ivy, and we need to pray for ministers. You see, it's relatively easy enough to preach on the doctrine of holiness and of the doctrine of humility and of the doctrine of being honest. But if the day-to-day dealings of a minister with members and with officers and within the family circle doesn't give evidence of those marks of grace, the task of the ministry is hampered. We must pray for those in position of leadership that they will set the right tone and the spirit among those whom they serve. And then finally, look at verse 4 to tell us about this wonderful treasure. This treasure that is awaiting those who serve faithfully. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Now, we might find it difficult to think about the rewards or honours or prizes that we might consider when we get to heaven. But it's clear that the good shepherd who died and the great shepherd who rose again is also the chief shepherd. And in this context here, we note it's the chief shepherd who will appear. Now, this applies, these three wonderful descriptions, these triads of a good shepherd, a great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. It's a wonderful thought to think, as I'll apply it now in terms of Ivan's situation, he needs to look to the good shepherd and the great shepherd and the chief shepherd. But if you've come to support Ivan and you're not yet a Christian, you might be part of his extended family, you're not yet a Christian, you also need to know the good shepherd. The good shepherd who laid down his life on the cross so that your sins could be forgiven and that you would not go to eternal judgment and damnation in hell. The good shepherd. And then the great shepherd who rose triumphant from the grave. This is this wonderful picture at the end of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. The great shepherd of the sheep who rose triumphant in the face of sorrow, in the face of death, in the face of hardship. And also as well, this wonderful thought that he is the chief shepherd. He's coming, he's returning, and we need to be ready to meet him. Now, also as well, with regards then to this treasure, notice also that the Lord Jesus is called the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd. Archipoimen. Now, this word indicates to us again, it's only here found in the New Testament. Archi, the idea of a one who oversees, the one who is oversees it all. And he can give you the name Archbishop. Archbishop. But it's interesting that Peter only uses that term for one person. One person. The Lord Jesus Christ who will appear. So there's no hierarchy. It's very clear. From what I understand in these four verses, there's no hierarchy. The layer of hierarchy that was missing at the time of the early church has now entwined itself around the body of Christ. And there are those who even claim this title now for Peter himself and then seek to follow in that place. We know there were no trophies or medals in the games days of Paul, of Peter and Paul. It was a garland of leaves placed around on the head. Not a royal crown. The diadem belongs to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But this is a token also of triumph and a recognition of achievement to be a faithful servant and minister of God. And as believers, we are all called upon then to identify ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve him and to share this wonderful gospel with others. The crown of the athlete would soon fade away. I understand that some Olympians admit that they don't know where their medals are today. And as we perhaps then, with others, experience the suffering of standing for the gospel in the world, in the context of family, in the context of the community, that we will know the glory of the world to come, a share in the triumph, victory, and exaltation of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. In a moment, we'll be singing our closing hymn, and that'll be introduced to us shortly now, but it ends, "Till we cast our crowns before him, lost in wonder, love, and praise." Well, Ivan, how are you to survive then? How are you to survive in ministry? Not only in Northford, in Pontydulas, but in Penrhyl. How are us, others of us to survive and to continue and to flourish? Well, keep your eye on the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd who laid down his life for us. And when we falter and when we fail and when we have doubts, we look to him. "It is finished," he said. Confess it, put it behind you and move on. The Great Shepherd. In the face of death, in the face of sorrow, the face of heartbreak, in the face perhaps of a declining number numerically, to know he is the Great Shepherd and also the Chief Shepherd who is to appear again. And the wonderful thought is this: however difficult it is, we know that in the end, the Lord Jesus wins. He has already won. In a Bala Ministers' Conference 12 months ago, and a young man came. He was talking about the work in Iran. I finished on this, and he said, "So you've got to understand that there are numbers of people now in Iran who are coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ." But he said, "You've got to understand the whole history of where it is." A man called Henry Martin. I went there. He translated the scriptures into Farsi, Persian. He saw no converts. There were others who followed him. New persecution, opposition, their wives died, their children died, no converts. And he likened it unto, he said, "You could well be in a ministry at the moment where your job is just to clear the stones out of the field." Now, I know a minister who had to clear the stones of a graveyard to make room and put them on the side. But sometimes the work of a minister is to clear the stones, to make the field arable. And then there are others then who come along, and they have the responsibility then, and perhaps at time they're about sowing, but there's very little to show for it. And then there are those who know something of the reaping and of the harvest. Many of us who have been ministers of the gospel, we've known some measure of God's hand upon us, but we haven't known and seen what we would desire and what we would have longed to see. But that doesn't mean that the work that we've been involved with and in is of no avail. We might have been clearing a field. We might have been sowing up or ploughing up the field. Others are going to sow, but we know one planted, another watered. But who gave the increase? God alone. And we pray that those who have preached the gospel and continue to preach, and it's lovely to see Paul and good to see Alan here, who previous pastors of Penrhyl. And we pray that God's blessing will be upon you, and you'll know something of God's favour in years to come. And in one sense, I won't be envious and jealous. I'd be just glad that the part that perhaps some of us have played, and labouring hard and finding it difficult, that in the end, the Lord has brought a harvest to his glory and to his name. Well, may God bless his word to our hearts. And back now to Roger to introduce our final hymn to us.
Thank you so much for that word, and pray God's blessing ongoing for Ivan and Susie, Josiah and Phoebe, and the work in Nodva and in Penrhyl. Before we sing the last hymn, just to remind you that there are refreshments available downstairs. I'm not 100% sure you'll get downstairs from here, but around the side. So if anybody would love to stay, you'd be most welcome, and we can continue in fellowship together. We're going to sing this last hymn, and then as we finish, I'm going to ask everyone if you come up and close in prayer for us. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us, this is our prayer, isn't it? Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Thank you.
God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have all been able to be here today. Thank you for blessing us with strength and health and a desire to come. But Lord, we thank you more than being here together and even hearing your word being preached. We thank you for the truth of the gospel that we have. The fact that where we are weak, and we are always weak, you are strong. Thank you that you can strengthen us in our failings. Thank you that you can forgive us our sins. And as we come again before you, praying that you be with us as we go our separate ways, and as we live our lives before you, we pray that you would undertake for each and every one of us, that your grace that we know through the Lord Jesus Christ would be lavished upon us, that your love towards us, which we see in the great salvation, which we see poured out day by day, that we would know it from your hand. And Lord, we pray for the work of your Holy Spirit in bringing us and making us more and more aware of these things and making us more Christ-like. We pray that these things would come to pass in our lives so that you would be glorified and praised in the way that you deserve. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.